Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
So true. I hope that you have found that that is true in your life because, you know, there are times in our lives where we just want to break down and cry. There are times in our lives where we just want to go grab a pillow, shove it in our face, and scream at the top of our lungs. There are times we get so frustrated that we just don't feel like talking at all. But the one thing that has power in every single one of those situations is the power of the name of Jesus. When we call out to our Lord and our Savior, when we cry out in frustration, anger, disappointment, grieving, depression, any of those many roller coasters of emotions that we go through, when we cry out to his name, there is power in that name. There is peace in that name. There's encouragement in that name. That name is able to cast out demons. It's able to heal the sick. It's able to cure the blind, is able to do more than we could ever think or imagine. The name of Jesus is the name of our Lord, our Savior, our friend, our confidant. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that offers grace and mercy and forgiveness. And when you call on his name and when you believe in his name, great things happen. Please stand with me today as we continue to sing about that glorious name. Whether you're shouting his name, whether you're whispering his name, the name of Jesus is blessed in everything that he's involved in. You know, there were many people in the day of Jesus that was named Yeshua. Yeshua was a pretty common name back in that time. But when you pair it with the name of Christ, when you pair it in the belief in who he was, when you pair it with the great things that he did, there was a significant difference between Yeshua and Yeshua the Christ. Yeshua, God with us. There was a big difference between the two of those things. And I pray that that blessing is in your life every day when you wake up and you call out his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the name of Jesus is something that we call out when we're grateful for the things that he's done in our lives. The name of Jesus is something that we call out when we're struggling in our everyday life. But the name of Jesus is something that you can call out for other people, too. The name of Jesus is something you can call upon when you're praying for that family member that has yet come to Christ. The name of Jesus is something that you can call out when a coworker comes to you and tells you about some horrible news that just happened in their family. The name of Jesus has power in every situation, and it gives us the ability that the love and the grace and the mercy that we experience with him on a daily basis to be able to speak that name to other people. Sometimes it's not verbally. Most times it's just in the actions that we do. As his followers, as his children, as his believers, everywhere we go, we should speak Jesus. Go ahead, Kyle.
I want to talk to you this morning about a theme. As most of you know, my wife has taught school for almost 30 years. She is now fully retired, and she is saying hallelujah. She did not have to go to class time meetings. She did not have to sit through faculty senate. She did not have to hear the politics of education. She got to stay in bed past 6 o'clock in the morning, and let me tell you, she is not disappointed. Her education career, as many of you may know, but all of you are going to know, she only taught in 2 universities, just 2. Over 20 years at the old General Motors Institute that became Kettering University. And then you taught 7 years? 938 years at Bethel University in the Twin Cities. 6 years? 6 years at Bethel University. That's quite an accomplishment. There are times when you wonder, because you see people bouncing from school to school, even with tenure. She was only two. And she felt like her ministry, even with her advanced degrees, not to brag, but I'm bragging on Jesus to help her, master's and PhD, she felt like her ministry was to go back and teach kids to be prepared to go into that workplace with those skills that there is still a huge need for. In the course of her teaching, she can get consumed with extreme details, with flow, with source, with conduction, resistance, amount of energy going into the production of electrical conduction and current, and a bunch of other stuff I can't even pronounce and do or say. She's laughing, I'm not. I don't understand electrical engineering. I just know I can plug it in and it either has power or it doesn't. And that's just about it. She has to be exacting. Her calculations cannot be off. If she gets off just a little bit, the whole thing is gone. There are those who would say, what's wrong with that? I mean, you can always correct it. It can be deadly. If someone uses something with a different connection, in a connection with the wrong way of doing it, and they'd use it wrongly, it can be deadly. I cannot tell you how many people came into my emergency room bays as an ERRN that have had electrical shock. I don't mean plugging something in wrong. I mean major, serious electrical shock. Sometimes they live, most times they didn't. And I don't want to get beyond that. We'd start at one point, go out another, and nothing. That makes it the hardest thing in the world to have to go with the doctor as a nurse, and they always use me anyway because I'm a minister, to tell the family about the demise of their loved one. That makes nursing very hard. The church in many ways is somewhat similar. We have heard so much about the life of the Holy Spirit. We have heard from them how we should be living in it, how we should be manifesting it, how it should be seen in us, and if it's not this, then you don't have it. There's the mainstream media. There are higher education sources. There are those who will write books and everything else. Many times they will start with a wrongful start. They will take their ideas to the Bible and then make their ideas the holy thing. They don't go to the Bible and see it as the inspired word of God, inerrant, or else God is not without error, and then go from there. And then they give information to people that is not correct. The result of that is frustration. It is living below the level of what we can live in the Holy Spirit, or it is very badly, oftentimes, people just leave and don't come back. That's devastating. Let me share this with you. The life of the Holy Spirit is not something we debate. The life of the Holy Spirit is what we teach and will come from this book and this book only. I will be sharing with you a portion of Scripture for our text, and it will be used as a springboard text. But that said, we want to do things that are right. We want to share it right. Today I want to share with you one aspect of what it means to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been focusing on baptism for a few Sundays. We talked about the baptism of repentance. We talked about the baptism of water, and last week was a glorious, glorious, glorious final exam question. What was the word? Glorious service. We had three people, and all three of them are here, get baptized. That is a vulnerable time. That is a transparent time, and that is a testimony and commitment time. And we were able to share that together last week. I will share with you that no one person in one sermon can cover anywhere near it all. There are so many truths in the passage that I'm going to share with you that I can't cover all the truths in that passage, much less all the truths about the baptism and the fullness and the evidence of being in the Holy Spirit. And yet I will say this. One of the summational things that we can say about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit is this. We die daily to be crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, but Christ that lives within us. Paul even said, I die daily. The Apostle Paul of all people in 1 Corinthians 15:31. The Apostle Paul, isn't that interesting? The same Apostle we spoke of last week, who he was, when named Saul, was confronted on the Damascus Road. The same Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, before God changed his name, was blinded and spoken to. Very importantly, that same Saul, before he became Paul, ended up saying this, "Who are you, Lord?" A question. Not what are you doing, but who are you? It was at that time, for the first time, that changed his life. And Paul addressed the person he was persecuting as Lord. Let me make a pause here. There are going to be times when you are being the person you should be. You are walking with Christ. You are being Christ. You are sharing Christ. You are saying things that people need to hear. And there will be people that you feel are persecuting you, and quite honestly, they are. But ultimately, they are not persecuting just you. They are persecuting Christ. Because it is the Christian message you are living, you are teaching, you are saying, you are sharing that they are against, and therefore it is against God himself and Christ himself that they are persecuting. Further, the same Saul that Ananias was sent to conducted a healing service, then baptized him, and was now recognized at Jesus as the one he was persecuting, Messiah. And now he has already repented. He's already called him Lord. What is the response of Saul of Tarsus? He was in prayer and fasting for 3 days. He knew about prayer and fasting, but not about 3 days for someone else and something else to take over his life in a new way. He was waiting and obeying for 3 days. He was told to go back. He went on to Damascus and was told to wait. He was no longer dependent on himself. That's huge. The guy had all the letters that he needed to do anything and everything he wanted. He no longer was in charge, and he was no longer able to do whatever he wanted to do like he once had been able to. But he had ceased from his own sinful life, again for 3 days. Isn't that interesting? Jonah, 3 days. Jesus, 3 days. Saul, who became Paul, 3 days. Of importance, we do not know the exact time of when Paul, I'll just refer to it as Paul now, received the Holy Spirit. In the old days of the early days of the New Testament, in Acts, they received the Holy Spirit when the apostles, the 12, laid their hands on those who were receiving it. Now we can be in a car and receive the Holy Spirit. I know a lady who was in jail and received the Holy Spirit in sanctification. And from that time, she's never been back in jail. Her life was a devastation, and yet God transformed it. You can be walking down the road and praying and receive the Holy Spirit. If you come to an altar, you can receive the Holy Spirit at an altar of prayer. I will probably be touching your shoulder or something, but that's okay. It's not from me you receive the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives himself to you. We do not know when he did it, but what we do know is this. We know the fruits of the infilling of the Holy Spirit were evident after he was baptized. Let me say that again. After he was baptized, Acts 9:19 tells us Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for many days. After that point, we see him being the preacher that we would later see his name changed to Paul. After that point, and after this point of reference, of him struggling, him waiting, and him being baptized, and again, water baptism came after repentance. After he was baptized, the Holy Spirit was there, and here's what I'm going to say. While we may have questions because of his past, the scripture says that Paul, who would become Paul, had three things that we can prove from that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says he increased in strength. The word there is power, and it is a spiritual power. From the Greek, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. That does not come on someone until after the Holy Spirit comes on you to be the witness. Only after the Holy Spirit comes on is there power to be witness, and he had that power. He confounded the Jews. Not only increased in strength, he confounded the Jews who were living in Damascus. The Greek word there means to pour them in together and pour over them and reveal to them their faulty conduction mathematics, spiritually, of what they had been taught. New truth, new experience, new life, new message, the gospel confounded them. And finally, he said, he proved to the Jews Jesus is Christ. There is a word there for prove that says this: no longer poor together, but now joined together in this new life, this new message, this newness of what can come. The old gone, the new come. The crucified, the old life was done now in him, to him, for him, and so that by him, by the Holy Spirit, through him. That's about as plain as we can get. He had the Holy Spirit. This brings us to the message of the hour. It is not centered in the words of Paul, though I could easily do that. It is centered in the words of Jesus himself, that we are to live in this life we call Holy Spirit baptism. Again, while many things can be said and scores of books have been written, a great many verses in Scripture have been written and you can read them. Let me share with you these things for our consideration today. Our theme is this: a biblical perspective, living the life of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm only going to talk about one aspect of it today. Again, only one. Our text this morning is from Matthew. I want you to take your Bibles, and I am going to read to you, since we don't have a PowerPoint, I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and we're going to be looking at these verses. Pull it up on your phone, pull it up in your Bible, pull it up in whatever you got. It's fine. And I will be reading out of my Bible, and it says this: you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under feet of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp, put it under the basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's powerful. And not only is it powerful in what it says, it's powerful in the timing of it all. Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. He then went out. He was tempted like no other. Then he came back, and it was only after the Holy Spirit came on him so other people would recognize him for who he was, he began to teach, preach, and heal. And his first sermon was the greatest sermon ever preached. And he starts with the attitudes to be, the be attitudes. And then the next passage is what we just read. And then he tells the rest of the story in the words of Paul Harvey. Theme, biblical perspective of living the life of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The text is we have read, and here is our sermon in a sentence. The life, L-I-F-E, of the Holy Spirit is shown by the light, L-I-G-H-T, of the Holy Spirit from the person infilled by the Holy Spirit. The text in the ending of the brief but incredible time, it starts before that and after the Beatitudes with this whole concept of salt. Salt. Salt is a preserving agent. When you put it in food, it tends to react mainly against the water to extract from it the moisture so that the medium, the place where bacteria can form and spoil meat or spoil food, is taken care of. It also acts to preserve by nature of its very nature. And therefore, once the water is gone, the bacteria cannot live for a while. You can't always just leave it out, of course. But the medium is taken care of. And it will have the absence of the medium, thereby the absence of the infection potential of the bacteria on the food. That was Chef School 101, believe me. We got that grilled in us. Salt. Anybody know what it was? And somebody raised their hand and he said, yes. He said, something that comes out of a Morton box. That did not set well. But that's what salt does. Then there is light, L-I-G-H-T, not only preserved, now that we are preserved, but showing and revealing the preservation that is there. The salt preserves, the light reveals, the Holy Spirit, the power and provision of the Holy Spirit, that living for Jesus alone is there. empowered by Jesus alone, is there. And therefore, the ability to not fall into sin is there. This is supported by absolutely irrefutable timeline of events. Jesus baptized, he took on the devil, Satan himself, and at the end of that temptation, he had already refuted all of Satan's things by Scripture. And then here's what Jesus said, "Depart from me. Leave. Go. Leave me alone." Only then did Jesus preach, teach, and heal, as I've shared. Salt in the life to have light, L-I-G-H-T, from the life. As those who follow Jesus, becoming and being salt in our culture, in our world, how do we know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit? There are a lot of ways. There are the fruits of the Spirit. There is the testimony of the Spirit. There is the L-I-F-E of the Spirit. And this morning I want to focus on the L-I-G-H-T of the Holy Spirit, in, with, from, and through our lives. You see, I'm not just preaching this at you. I'm preaching it at me too. And I've shared this with pastors that I've worked with as an executive state elder in another organization. If you can't be preaching to you, you need to get out of the pulpit. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us need to keep working and keep going deeper in Jesus, including this pastor. Point one is this, Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." What am I saying? There is the realization of the Holy Spirit. You realize who you are because of whose you are. You, I, we either belong to the devil or we belong to Jesus. Realize who you are because of whose you are. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You are light. He is light in you, flowing through you, and you are the light of the world. It's interesting to note that the rest of Jesus' ministry and teaching were based on not only the be attitudes, the attitudes to be, but also how do you need to become light. And then even the rest of his sermon shares that. And then the rest of his teaching reviews that and relays that and restates that. You are the light, not just to the few, but to all the world that you come into contact with. Your world is not my world. My world is not your world, but we all have a world in which we relate. There are people who work in factories. There are people who work at other jobs. There are people who are professional. There are people who are in skilled labor. Let me tell you something, folks. You are in a mission field, regardless of where you go. Regardless of the job you do, you are in a mission field of the world. Everybody there is not going to be a believer. You are in the world, and you are to be a light in that world, not only because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Your light is like a city, bold and undeniable. Walk with me. I'm sure you've done it. I've done it, especially in all the times of driving back and forth until we got moved here. You're driving down the road, it's getting dark, it becomes dark, and then up ahead you see a lot of lights beginning to come across the horizon. There is no doubt there's a city up there. There's no doubt. Your light, my light, our light shows the city that cannot be hid. Your light is a light of the Holy Spirit shining to you, through you, for you, with you, from you, that others will see your light and make the trip. Are we following? Am I getting through? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Yesterday and last week, there were people who said, "I just felt like I ought to come. I was going to go somewhere else, but I just felt like I ought to come." That's not a happenstance. That's not an accident. That's not a, well, second choice. The city on a hill, the light shining forth. And from yesterday, there are people who are considering coming to this church now, Not because the preacher is so good, but because the people of this church and the glory of God is shining, that it's attracting others to church. Because in this church, we just simply base everything on this. There is a hungering like never before in the life of the Judeo-Christian church, I really feel. I am 60, none of your business years old. And I have been in ministry 65. I've been in ministry 50 years. And I've never seen it like this. With all of the things that are going on in our world and all of the confusion and all of the, there is a hungering for answers. There is a hungering for leadership. There is a hungering for people to hear what the real truth of life can be, should be, and must be. And they are looking now more than ever to the church. I did a Google search this week on the move of Christianity. Do you hear about it in the press? I'm not talking political. I said press. They're not covering it. But it is on beaches. The Beach Church of the Nazarene or whatever church. It's not a denominational. They just want to hear Jesus. Your light, my light, our light is that city in the darkness that brings people here to Jesus and to connect with fellowship of believers that they can become a membership in the body of Christ first. Not to the Nazarene church here, though that's important, but to the body of Christ. You are the direction. Point A, realize who you are because of whose you are. Point B, realize you are the embrace. You are to embrace that there are no hiddenness parts of light that should be there. You cannot be hidden. You are to be the unkept secret, no longer a secret. You have a story to tell. Tell it. Paul did that in 1 Corinthians 15:10. I was this. And then in 15:10 he says, but I am what I am by the grace of God, and his grace was not made to me in vain. Wait a minute. He held the jacket while people were killing disciples. He was incarcerating. He was imprisoning. He was having them killed. And yet God reached down, forgave his sins, transformed his life, filled him with the Spirit, made him the light that I am now what I am now only by the grace of God. And his grace was not made to me in vain. Uninhibited radiation, light not hidden, the Holy Spirit living in you, maintained by devotion from you, gives you the salt in your life to keep the bacteria of sin out so that you can be salt in a world that you have, world. That's going to be important in a few minutes. Realize the life of the Holy Spirit is shown by the L-I-G-H-T of the Holy Spirit from the person and filled by the Holy Spirit. Tough question. Tough question. What's radiating from your life? Whatever it is, that's what's here. That's what goes out. Is it the life and the gift of the Holy Spirit that you will be the light, L-I-G-H-T, to the world we have been called to in Jesus' first sermon ever? Point one was realization. Point two is, I'm sorry. Point one was recognition. Point two is realization. Anyway, it is what it is. Matthew 5:15, let's read that again. Nor do people put a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the house. Did you see that transition? World, now the house. Recognize where we are. Realize who you are because of whose you are. Recognition. Recognize what happens in, with, and through you. Recognize where we are to be. We are to be on a stand and not hidden. Not under a basket, not hidden, not coexisting, not being Mr. Nice Guy, but being fruitful. Multiplying. You cannot be fruitful unless you are out there planting seeds. There will be times when you will be opposed and opposed greatly. As I was talking with somebody this week, they said the greatest pains have often been from family or church. But when I come to the point when I realize the people that hurt me the most are not really truly Christians because they do not act like Christ, then I realize that's not really church. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to be the true church. We are to be the light that radiates from the life of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Recognize where we are to be. We are to be where light is needed. Dr. David Thompson, I was hoping that Debbie was here, Jim. I know where she's at, but I was hoping she could hear this. Dr. David Thompson was a professor at Asbury College and Seminary. I knew him very well in Lexington, Kentucky, in the Wesleyan church that I was in. He was a phenomenal person. He would stand, he would have a piece of paper about this by this, and you looked and it had two or three lines written on it, and that was it. He was that wealth of walking knowledge. He would have a grease board from one end of the classroom to the other. He would start at one end and go to the other and just keep talking and writing because he was that well-versed. Here's what he said about this whole concept, among many others. I asked him about that after he said it and after the class one day in Sunday school. And he said, I tell that to every person in my class. They have to read it, they have to learn it, they have to memorize it, because it's on every final that I give. And it's this. If and when we come to the place in our lives when and where we allow others to dampen our living or cover our light or make us doubt the completeness of forgiveness of sin and victory over sin, then we come to the point of refusing to be opposition to sin, and we have mitigated our discipleship and our churches to the insufficiency of the gospel. In other words, when we quit letting our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, we have dampened our light, we have let somebody else do that, and we are then therefore saying, the blood of Jesus, the discipleship of Jesus is insufficient. Wow. I'll say it backwards, and I'm not being funny. Wow. That is incredible. Recognize where we are to be and recognize what are the impediments. The impediment of being hidden. Hidden. Under a lamp, on a lamp, but then hidden under a basket. I have been in people's homes and calling on people's homes, not here but elsewhere, where they turn the light on. You get there and they turn the light on, but the lamp shade was so over it you almost couldn't even see there was a light in there, much less anything else. One lady said, well, I don't have the 100-watt bulb, so I just put a 40-watt in there. And then the lamp shade went this far below the bulb. How are you going to get light from that? Not much. Not being hidden. There's the impediment of acquiescence, allowing ourselves to have light, but being made quiet, pulling back. We don't want to be heard. We don't want to be seen. We don't want to be offensive to those who are opposed, and therefore we are put under a basket again. And there's the impediment of contentedness. I'm okay, we're doing okay. Until we get to heaven, we're never doing okay. We have to be doing all that we can to be doing more, winning more, and being deeper in Jesus. Look in Revelation 2:4. It is the church of Ephesus. The Ephesus church has said about them, they have done a lot of things right, but then Jesus himself, through John the apostle, says this, you have left your first love. We do not know exactly what that first love alludes to, but we can pretty much guess. You go to Acts 18 and 19. They were sharing the gospel. They were telling the gospel. They were speaking out against the sins of the culture. And then riot broke out. People didn't like it. Yet they still stayed with it, and riot continued, but then so did revival. And from that, the town was changed. But that was about A.D. 36 to 40, maybe a little later. But by A.D. 90, when John wrote this, it had changed. You've lost your first love. Look also in Revelation 3, 15 through 16. You know the church well. It's the church of Laodicea. Not one single thing good about them. You have become lukewarm. You say you have it, but you're lukewarm. And what does Jesus say about that lukewarm church? I will spew you out of my mouth. We're going to have lunch, and I won't go into it beyond that much. But I will spew you out of my mouth. In short, you make me sick. Contentedness. There is the recognition of where we are to be, the recognition of impediments to be, and the recognition of the life that can be, unceasing light, walking in the power, the purity, the presence of Jesus. I'm going to go directly to point three. There's a lot there we can say, but we're needing to be careful. Point one was realization. Point two was recognition. And point three is this, Matthew 5, 16. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, before men, that they will see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. So shine, same way, same persona, same intensity, same purpose. And then from that, see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Reflection of your light into the lives of others. It is a reflection of that comes from courage. There's a lot of verses I can use, but I'm going to go to a very familiar verse. It's in Psalms 23. It's verse 4. Your rod and your staff are comforting me. They are with me. Comforting me. They're there to protect me. Yes, I will encounter, but yes, I will be victorious in the end. There is the reflection of awareness. Matthew 28, 20, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Aware that we are walked with, filled by, kept by, and have the promise of, the presence of Jesus. There is the reflection of identity. Ephesians 6, 10. Ephesians 6, 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our identity, ladies and gentlemen, when we are filled with the Spirit, after we've been saved, and especially after we've been filled with the Spirit, our identity is no longer me, but Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about how we would like to see it. It's, Lord, we need you, your vision, your purpose, your way, your will, you. Not I, but Christ in me, to me, with me, for me, then from me. Reflect on assurance. Philippians 1:28. Do not let yourself be frightened. This is a more contemporary translation. Do not let yourself be frightened by anything your opponents do, but recognize this. It is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. That puts it pretty plain. That puts it pretty plain. Assurance. Your light will reveal darkness, but your light will shine forth. How's your light today? How bright is it? Where is it? Is it under a basket? Is it under a huge lamp shade with the itsy bitsy teeny weeny light? Can I encourage you something, folks? Get out from under the basket, take off the shade, put in the biggest bulb there and let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Reflection of your life through the investment into others. The Holy Spirit in your life produces light from your life. The Holy Spirit in your life, L-I-F-E, will produce L-I-G-H-T from your life. Manifested in good works and fruitfulness through your life. Your life will be characterized by good accomplishments, good works. I looked it up in the Greek, good works. I went beyond to the roots of it, holy works that are good. If you're doing holy works, they're good works. Your life will be a reflection of Jesus because it is led by Jesus and being infilled by the Holy Spirit and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Do you not know, Paul, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He comes to take up residence in you. You become living, dynamic temples everywhere you go. Do we have a lampshade? Or are we under a basket? Or are we just simply letting it shine? I've shared this before. I'll share it again. My grandmother was the poorest woman I ever knew. She lived in literally a living hell when she was married for so many years until my grandfather, as he put it, got religion. But there was not a pastor in the area, not just her church, but others. They heard about Georgie Wilson. And they would come, and they would want to visit with Georgie. And they knew she was dirt poor, so they would bring the coffee themselves so she could make it, and they could sit down and drink coffee. We have a Marine here, believe me. Her coffee made Marine Swill look weak. It was that powerful. And you better drink it of a morning or you're going to be up all night. But they sat, they drank, they visited. Her light, despite what she was in, despite what she had been through, shined forth. One of the people that we had baptized last week, all of them have their own light, but one particular, told me some specifics about the clothing that that person wore. Light. No way to explain that one, except L-I-G-H-T. From the L-I-F-E within that person's H-E-A-R. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but that person knows, and I want to thank them for sharing that. That was hugely vulnerable, hugely risky, but greatly blessing me. What's your light like? Is it shining brightly? How salty are you? Are you full so that the medium of the back is taken care of so bacteria of sin can take no root? Are you truly filled with the Holy Spirit? You reflect on your purpose. It's a reflection of your purpose to bring glory to God. Is it? Does it? If not, it can. It can. And I got to share something with you folks. I'm not trying to be condemnation to you, but the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And we are told in the Old Testament and quoted by Peter, be holy as I am holy. There's a song that I wrote that I've shared with you. We don't have the PowerPoint, so I'm just going to stay with the chorus. Because I've sung it a lot, but I don't know that you'll remember the words. I will sing the verse, and then I want you to join me on the chorus, and I think you'll remember it. I'm available to you, my Lord. To go where you would go, I'm available to you, my Lord. The path to others show. I'm available to you, my Lord, to do all that I can. I'm available to you, my Lord, with everything I am. Karen, help me. Available, Lord, I'm available to do whatever you would have me do. Kyle, I need two hots. Available, Lord, I'm available to speak as you would speak, to be what you would be, to do whatever you would have me do. Sing it again. Stand with me if you are available. Now, this is not a covenant with me. This is a covenant with Jesus. Take it that serious. Available, Lord, I'm available to do whatever you would have me do. Available, Lord, I'm available to speak as you would speak, to be what you would be, to do whatever you would have me do. Thank you, both of you. As you're standing here, heads bowed, eyes closed, I want you to ask Jesus now, not later, now. Lord, who do I need to be available to show your light to? Who? You see, I just believe that if we are broken to the point of actually asking that, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will be faithful to the point of compelling you to go be light. We'll grow. It's not about growth specifically, but we'll grow. We'll double, we'll triple. But more than that, people, other people, will see light from you. They will ask you, and even if you don't know the 24 various things you can plans of salvation you can share this. It's not I, but Jesus. It's just Jesus in me. How can I pray with you? Folks, that didn't take 10 seconds. Can you two sing that chorus again one more time and then we'll pray? You see, I just think we all need to be just that available and nothing less. Please. Available, Lord, I'm available to do whatever you would have me do. Available, Lord, I'm available to speak as you would speak, to be what you would be, to do whatever you would have me do. Lord, you see us standing. No one is sitting down. You see that covenant to you. Let hold us accountable. Break our hearts to be there and do there, to speak, to be, to do. And let us not have any peace until we do it and are truly available and busy about the Father's business. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.